Good morning. Welcome to worship. Special welcome to those of you joining us from home. This week in our gospel lesson we'll read later, it's Jesus says to his disciples that the harvest plentiful, but the laborers are few. As we come into the summer months, with travel plans, sometimes it feels like that, but it is a blessing that those of you who are traveling are able to join us still with through the live stream, that we can be one community together. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worshiping this morning with our confession. Invite all who are able to stand. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, invite us to take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 19. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter. His brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Two verses. One sentence from the Gospel reading, probably very familiar to you. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's our theme for today. Harvest, and the Lord of the harvest sending laborers out into it. As I was reflecting on this past week, I thought of the very old and probably apocryphal story of the two shoe salesmen. Some of you will know it. These two shoe salesmen in the 19th century get sent into remote areas of the world to try to bring up new markets for sale. They come to one village and go back to the telegraph office, and the one sends back, "Situation hopeless. They don't wear shoes." The other sends back, "Amazing opportunity. Not one of them has a shoe already." The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I thought of that little anecdote this week, thinking about the theme of laborers in the field and a plentiful harvest. Now, harvest is a particularly interesting metaphor because I think it's more specific than we usually imagine. Often when we hear about a harvest being plentiful, I think we might get a picture in our mind, perhaps a romantic picture of a field with crops fully grown, ready to be gathered. And when I mentally picture that, I think of fields of strawberries because that's what we had growing up. And when they were ready to harvest, you could see the plants were kind of pulled down a little. They're already low to the ground, but pulling them down, you see those bits of red sticking out the edges alongside little white flowers that are everywhere. And we had 14 acres, so in the center of that field, however far you looked on the ground, it was just strawberries everywhere you went. And some of you might have a bit of a romantic scene like that in your mind when you think of the harvest, this abundant, plentiful harvest. It might be beautiful or majestic. But, you know, that picture I think of, that maybe some of us think of, about all that fruit in the field, you know, that's not a harvest. That's the yield the field has produced. That field has yielded much, but it's in the field. A yield sitting in a field is not harvested. A harvest is what you go, and if it's strawberries, you pick, you gather together, you get on the truck, and you drive it to the cannery. That's harvested. And so, if Jesus speaks about plenty in the harvest, it's only plentiful because there were people to gather it. And I remember well, with some grief, one year we did have, when it happened on our farm, that we did have a very good yield, but at a critical time we didn't have enough people to gather it, and we watched a lot of fruit rot on the ground. Fantastic yield, terrible harvest. So when Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, it's not just saying that there's a yield there, but there's a yield being gathered. And I will say quickly that that term harvest in the New Testament sometimes can be used in ways that might look more like a yield. But here I think that implication is pretty clear. A yield that's gathered, that's being harvested. And of course, what do you need for the elements to make that happen? Well, it suggests there is a yield and that it's already being harvested. That's what makes it plentiful. And I share all of that because I think it nuances a piece of this metaphor that Jesus is using in this passage. This metaphor in this passage, I think, too frequently could be used as kind of a blunt object to charge us to go out there and get to harvesting, or else this yield is all just going to go to waste. And sometimes it could be kind of a heavy-handed message of guilt. But I'm not sure if that's precisely what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers few. The harvest plentiful, already plentiful. If we get out of this metaphor here and into the narrative of the whole Gospel of Matthew, What would this harvest be? It's Jesus proclaiming the good news to the crowds, a community that are described here as harassed and helpless. That second Greek word, helpless, has actually, it's kind of a throwing word. It's the implication of being cast down or cast out, tossed aside. And it's Jesus who proclaims good news to them. Good news and hope to those who have no hope. That's already been happening in the Gospel of Matthew. We are here in the chapter 9 of Matthew. Throughout the whole narrative of Matthew from chapter 3 on, chapters 1 and 2 where Jesus gets born, and then from chapter 3 on, Jesus' message of the good news is getting out there. It's being heard. The harvest is happening. In fact, the crowds respond. Jesus has a huge number of people following him around, and in fact, Jesus usually isn't out recruiting. He goes to a new space and the crowd is already there waiting for him. They are showing up before Jesus says a thing. The good news is known. People know about it. The harvest is plentiful already in the Gospel of Matthew. And so what if the focus might be a little bit on the second half? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Up to this point in the gospel, with the one exception of John the Baptist, no one except for Jesus has done any proclamation of the kingdom. No one except for Jesus has taught, healed, or even dialogued much with others. Jesus, when he called the first disciples, did say, I'm going to make you fishers for people, but that was a little bit unclear what that looked like. And instead, they were followers, and it was Jesus doing proclamation. The crowds and disciples followed. Because, of course, that's what Jesus calls them to do, to follow. What else would they do? But here Jesus says something else. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Well, it seems sort of obvious. The laborers haven't just been few. It's been one. It's just been Jesus. Here, Jesus prays to the Lord of the harvest. Send out laborers. And we so frequently hear this as a hard ethical charge to ourselves to go out there, work hard to proclaim who God is in the world. And surely that is an aspect of this text. It might convict us and we don't do enough or as much as we wish. But I'd like to focus on something else here. If the harvest is already plentiful, Jesus, why are you worried about more laborers? Remember what happened when Jesus saw this crowd. He had great compassion for them. That word, compassion, there's no real English translation. It means to feel something so very deeply that you viscerally feel it in your body, in your guts. Splenitzomai, if you're interested. Jesus felt for this crowd who was harassed and helpless, who were cast out and thrown down, who are wandering like sheep without a shepherd, those who have no purpose or plan, the utterly desperate. And it's before these ones that Jesus says, the laborers are few. Well, are these people, these crowds, who are they the yield or are they the laborers? And I think sometimes we assume the former. These crowds are all this harvest who needs to be brought in. But you know, that doesn't really make full sense. These are those who are already following Jesus. These are those already hearing, responding to the good news. And I recognize that I'm really leaning in on a metaphor, and metaphors are a little bit ambiguous. But I would suggest a way of reading this. What if we think of these crowds as those very laborers? Notice what happens as soon as Jesus asks for laborers. he gets laborers. The next verse, the disciples are commissioned and sent out. And something the disciples who have been following Jesus probably did not imagine was that as followers, they weren't just going to be following Jesus. They were going to be part of this proclamation of this kingdom of God. Jesus sends them out and empowers them with authority over unclean spirits, ability to heal, to proclaim the good news. The very things Jesus has been doing up to this point in ministry. The disciples are sent to do what Jesus is doing. We might be so used to the idea of that that we miss its significance. Jesus is inviting people into a ministry that did not seem replicable in any way. Jesus is God, who is doing things that are not possible on earth. And here, these disciples are empowered to go do those same very things. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus doesn't say the harvest will be plentiful if you work really, really hard. It's already plentiful. And now you have been empowered to be part of it. Remember what it said about that crowd there? Harassed, helpless, troubled, cast down? And today scholars disagree about whether or not the disciples who were sent out one verse later should be characterized as part of that crowd or not, but they certainly were that when they were originally called, whether or not you think about it in this chapter or not. These crowds, these peoples, talked about as helpless and harassed. And they who feel so cast aside, they're the ones who are part of this ministry of good news. The new laborers in this abundant harvest. This, among the many things it is also a message of empowerment. It does challenge us to go be the hands and feet of Jesus, and that's not always very easy, but it also is telling us you are able to be the hands and feet of Jesus, even though you remain those harassed, helpless, cast down, cast aside. You're the ones who can look at this world like that second shoe salesman. Look at the amazing opportunity. Sure, we're struggling, but see the possibility. And not just the possibility of all those out there who could come to know Jesus, but right here in who I am. This has a statement of worth in it. You are able to do this. You're able to express in a very real way Jesus to each other. In Lutheran terms, we like to call it a means of grace. And I think we often don't stop to appreciate what that means for our identity. Does that mean, of course, that we're going to have the same response as Jesus when we express through various ways in our lives who Jesus is, like Jesus did to these crowds? Well, of course not. Because as it does say here, they're harassed. They're helpless. They're cast down by society around them. But Paul, in our epistle reading from Romans, reminds us, while we were yet sinners, that's when Christ dies for us. While we are yet in the process of what sometimes can feel like failing continually, there God is active and alive in us. Us who are fallible, sinning humans. And that's where Jesus says, there I work in you at all times. You are able to be part of this gospel of mine. You're not, in fact, helpless, but empowered. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated for the prayers. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. Gracious and loving God, it is a privilege to be called your sons and daughters. Renew in us the joy of witnessing to your compassion for all your children, especially those who are like sheep without a shepherd, those struggling with faith and life, and those who are the marginalized and needy in our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We bring our anxieties and fears before you, especially for many of us, the anxieties and fears for our nation. In the midst of rancorous division, anxiety, and political strife, draw us in and keep us in unity in our faith, hope, and love for you and all people. Help us discern and choose leaders who will be examples of the commitment to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, we lift up to you the people of Ukraine and wherever there is conflict. Draw near to all who are suffering and have lost loved ones and homes. Bless organizations and nations who reach out with aid and comfort to them, and turn the hearts of leaders to seek peace, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. We acknowledge and confess that we have not been good stewards of the beautiful world you have created and the resources you have given us. Help us to realize our limitations and be better managers of what you have entrusted to our care. We pray for firefighters battling blazes in Ontario and other parts of Canada. Protect them, O Lord, and we pray that you would cause a change in the weather pattern that will help them contain those fires. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
On this day when we honor fatherhood, we lift up to you fathers, mothers, and all who have the awesome responsibility and joy of being primary caregivers. Bless them as they seek to protect, provide, and guide their families. Bless all single parents today, both dads and moms. They have one of the toughest jobs in the world. Give them and all parents wisdom, patience, and the strength they need to be both fathers and mothers to their children. Lord, in your mercy. And now we lift up to you loved ones and friends, members of our church family, and others. As we name before you Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Jody and Doug Martin, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, Gary Wolf, and the family of David Joe and the family of Larry Subrier. Also those that we name either out loud or in the silence of our hearts at this moment. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand and let us share the peace with one another.
Please be seated. a few very quick announcements of our life together. You see in your bulletin a few things coming up. One, you see Vacation Bible School, June 26th to 30th. Not too late to sign up, but you need to do that soon. Further, you see, just as in July, we're going to be doing a season of creation. You'll hear more about that as time comes up. It's part of a collaborative ministry we do with United at Emmaus. And then the other thing is that our garden worship in the garden in Springfield begins today at 11 o'clock. The final thing that's not listed here is, if you were there at the annual meeting last week, the picture directory is done. And so many of you got them. If you didn't get them and you're here today, there's some in the narthex. And also, for those of you joining us from home, if you're someone who can't make it to church to pick one up, you could always pick one up at the office. If you let us know you'd like one mailed to you, we could do that. So let us know at the office, and we could get that to you in that way. With those few brief announcements, we will continue with our offering. Rather than passing plates today, we'll invite you to drop your offering in the plates as you come forward for communion. Let's continue our worship with our offertory. Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
We live and move.
liberty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Distribution this morning will invite you to come forward to the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive a benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with good courage. Amen.
And share the harvest. Thanks be to God.